I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life. I'd like to introduce today's guest, Nama Laufer. She is slightly obsessed with Portuguese wine. Raised around the world, she always feels at home and in harmony with whatever the situation is she's dealt. A politics major from Brandeis University, she has stayed true to her studies with a twist, of course. Her love of communication and engaging with people quickly drew her to the world of PR and branding, where she has been perfecting the art of getting it done for the past 16 years. 10 years ago, Nama created NLC Wines with her husband, Luis, with the goal of bringing a unique selection of Portuguese wines that deliver the taste of Portugal rarely experienced before.
Let's try some
and let's get started.
Yay!
Thank you for coming to our abode.
Thank you for having me. It's so exciting.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with NLC Wines. What inspired you to jump into this entrepreneurship endeavor?
I think it was a combination of two things. On one hand, I was feeling a little stuck in having a boss, like the idea of having a boss. And I was like, okay, you know, let's figure something else out from this side. And then I also got married to a wonderful Portuguese man who is very gung-ho Portugal. And so we were living in Angola at that time, and we had come here to New York to visit my family. And my husband realized that there was very little Portuguese wine here in New York. And I thought, are you kidding? It's like New York. It's like the center of everything. There should be Portuguese wine. Well, there was very little Portuguese wine. And so that year, we decided, this was 2009, we decided, let's just create this company. We're not really sure what we're going to be doing here, but we're going to be creating a company to import Portuguese wine into the United States. So, okay, that's great. That sounds wonderful. Of course, the process with alcohol in the United States is a very long process. So it took us about 2 years to get all the licenses in place for us to begin the business. During that time, we were in Angola, we were accumulating wealth so that we would be able to move back to New York and actually have something to live off of. And that's a little bit how it happened. I think how a lot of life is, it kind of flowed. It was an idea, a brilliant idea on behalf of my husband, paired with the fact that we were kind of ready for something else in our lives, like a next step of something in our lives. It flowed. It was like one thing led to another, which led to another. And oh my God, we were in New York with like two containers of wine that we had to sell.
Right. It sounds like he had an idea and you are the action.
Yes. I think that's how it tends to be between us, actually. He's the idea man and I'm always the executor.
Which is a perfect pair, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think, yeah, the joke is we have a good marriage in more than one way. So we have a really warm, caring, loving marriage. But also on the business side of things, he just thinks. And he thinks about those little holes that nobody else thinks about. So he's brilliant in that way. And then I just kind of make it happen because I'm a Jewish woman.
that's what we do.
That's what we do.
So we think about days, like good days and bad days, and things get organized and sorted in that manner. But I think you sound a little bit different. You don't organize your days as good days and bad days. And we like to ask the question of, what does a great day look like?
Yeah, I definitely don't think about good days and bad days. I would say that from a very young age, it's kind of like a weird thing. Like everyone is wired differently. So my wiring is very much, I wake up in the morning and it's very rare that I'm not in a good mood. That I don't think like, it's going to be a great day. We have so much stuff to do and da-da-da-da. We have all these things planned. So I think more than good day, bad day, I think that I start on a positive note and then I try to manage the rest of the day as it comes on. And every day is a little different, right? I mean, I think that for anyone who runs a business and it's your own business, every day is a little different. For anyone who's a parent, every day is a little different. For anyone who's a parent also of two kids, a girl and a boy with two different personalities, every day is a little bit different. And if you are married, that's like a whole different thing. So I think that the tools that I use very often, this comes back to kind of like centering self, is a lot of breathing. So you have an opportunity, you have a moment, you wake up in the morning and it's great. And I just have a second there. I start hearing footsteps coming up to our bedroom and the kids are up. And so I kind of like, all right, here we go. And the kids come in and maybe they're in a great mood and they're singing songs. Or maybe one of them comes and crying because the other one pushed them down the stairs or what have you. Not quite down the stairs, but you know, push up. And so I think then you say, okay, point number one, how do you manage that? You don't start thinking, oh my gosh, the entire day is ruined because these kids are crying. But okay, they're crying. Let's solve this issue. It's really not a big deal. You know, no one's hurt.
You take it moment by moment.
Let's just take it moment by moment. Because otherwise, you can't operate in anything.
Well, it seems like you're natural at that. Like, you're naturally waking up in sort of a positive mood. And then you have these tools that you use to get through a tough day. And you're naturally in the moment, which is great because I think there are many people who have to really work at that one.
Yes, in this case, yeah, I also think that in some ways it's, you know, you can always see your positive notes as something great, but also as a potential flaw. So
okay.
I would say that it's a big flaw, but for those who know me, I live very much in the moment or in the day. So when I was, you know, in my early 20s, I wasn't thinking, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have 2.5 kids, I'm going to live in a house with a white picket fence. No, I never gave thought to that part of my life. Yes, I was dating someone. Yes, I wanted to get married. That's it. Then, oh, look, I'm not dating this guy anymore.
Right.
I met somebody else. I really dig him. But, oh, wait, I decided, so let's have a baby first. And then eventually, oh, no, we're going to get married. Great, let's get married. Oh, now we're going to move to New York and start a business. Let's do it. Oh,
so I think how would that bother people?
So why is that a potential flaw? Is if you ask me, where do you see your business growing in a year? I will tell you, well, I can tell you that where we are in terms of business this month, and I can tell you that we brought in another great container of wine, and I know that we're going to be able to sell it, but a year? It's like, there's so much that can happen in a year. While most business strategists will say, no, 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 you have to think ahead. You have to think a year. You have to think 5 years. You have to think 10 years. So at home, that ends up being another positive on my husband's side, who's the forward thinker. So that's where the flaw comes in, and that on the business side, sometimes you do have to think a little further ahead. I don't have that capacity.
Right. And you know what's amazing? I just saw this podcast featuring Kyle Cease. He's amazing, if you haven't heard him. But he talks about how Siri gives us directions, one direction at a time, because you don't know what's going to happen on that turn. And then on that turn, you might meet someone great, and then you have to take a different turn. But if you were to end game where you'd be, you'd miss out on all these amazing opportunities along the way because you were just looking for that ending.
Completely.
So sometimes planning too much can ruin the magic of starting a business or creating something.
Yeah, and being open, because if you start planning a year ahead, but then you're not open to the fact that maybe in this year, you're going to meet someone who wants to buy your business outright.
Yeah.
Or you might.
For millions and trillions of dollars.
And trillions
you have to be open to the unknown.
Yeah.
Because there's more magic there, I think.
I very much agree with that. You know, when I was growing up, one of my favorite quotes and like studying English lit was Robert Frost, the two roads diverging in a wood, you know, and what do you take? You take the one less traveled by. I think we all should be taking the road less traveled by because that's the one that's most exciting. And that eventually will bring more to our individual lives than if we take the one that everyone else has taken. Because if everyone else has taken it, it's not going to be really custom to us.
No.
And that has something that constantly through the life, it's like there are always two roads. You always take the one that's
and
best suited
for you. And
sometimes
you got to hack through the woods and create a new road.
Sure.
And pull those ticks off and it's okay.
And pull those ticks.
It's okay.
And then that's the million-dollar road that other people are going to want to take
someday.
Right. But you're going to charge a fine for them to enter.
We are. Well, a little bit what happened with our business. So we import Portuguese wine. 7 years ago when we were bringing in Portuguese wine, everyone told us, you're crazy. Everyone said, don't do it. This is not where you should invest money. And fast forward now, we're the only all Portuguese importer in New York City.
Amazing.
And when like the top restaurants or shops are looking for Portuguese wine, they contact us.
Yes.
So that's very, very cool.
Yeah. That's very exciting. I can't wait to buy some.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about using your breath to get through some of those bumps in the day. But why are they bumps? What are those triggers that you have to take a moment and take a breath about?
I think if you see yourself as flowing, right, like whether it's energy flowing or whether it's just flowing, like walking, you know, if something comes in your path, it breaks that energy.
And what would that be?
A crying child, an annoying husband, a house that is not organized. For example, my trigger is beds that are not made. So I cannot go past that. Beds have to be made for me to continue my day. If I'm sitting down having a coffee and I'm having my moment in the morning, and all of a sudden the two kids come screaming. That moment, that flow, that soft is broken. And that break is something that is distressing. And so that is where, in terms of like breathing through it, you say, okay, this is not what I wanted right now because I really wanted to drink my coffee in peace. And this was this moment. But now I have to address this situation that has just come about. So how do I address it? So you can either choose to address it super infuriating and you can say, this was awful. You've ruined my flow. You've ruined my moment. Or you can just turn around and say, all right, so the quicker I deal with this situation, the faster I'll go back to my flow.
And the quicker you accept the given situation.
Yeah, well, of course, right? Yeah. You just kind of like have to
Some people go. Fight it. They really are like, ah.
And that's where the frustration comes in.
Yeah.
So when you realize it's something outside of your control, this is something interesting, right? So if it's something of your control, you can be frustrated with yourself. Oh, man, I really...
or like if you had a deadline, you know, I should meet and you decided not to, you had wine with your friends.
Good.
That's your fault.
Yes. Right. Good. Exactly.
You didn't do that.
So something that is under your control, you can be frustrated with yourself. But it's something else external. Oh, look, I really want to do a beautiful picnic for the family. It started pouring.
Right.
Well, it sucks. Let's move the picnic indoors.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's more problem solving as opposed to being a trigger to disrupt the day. It's kind of like, hey, those things are, they happen.
Yes, but I would, absolutely happen. But I do think that if you are a person who just wants to move forward, things like a thunderstorm, when you have this picnic planned, could be a wrench, you know, and it's how you would dress that wrench. So yes, it's completely problem solving. But if you're a very controlling person of your day,
yes,
like agenda wise, I have an agenda every day, but it's very loose. Organized, yes, for appointments, but it's very loose otherwise.
Right. So it seems like you're just kind of naturally know that it's time for a breath and we're going to move on with this moment. Is there any techniques you have like on a daily basis that keep you grounded?
Did I mention coffee in the morning?
Okay, great. I love that. Which leads us into another one of our questions, right?
So, of course, coffee being a great indulgence, do you have any other indulgences you'd like to share?
You know, this sounds kind of like funny, but there are two things that I absolutely love to do. Number one is falling into bed at the end of the day.
I just pictured you like literally falling.
I like to fall on
the ground. So good. It's like, if anyone knows, it's like when I finally get to bed, it's like, oh my God, I'm here.
I love that one of your indulgences is something you get to do every single day.
But it's got to be in great sheets.
Okay.
So keep that
count.
The
whole bed thing.
The bed thing.
Is there a certain count sheet or brand that you love?
I just actually just got some sheets, like linen cotton blend sheets from Bedsure.
Okay.
They're phenomenal. I feel like I'm cocooned in my bed. It's marvelous.
Bedsure, we'll have to check it out.
Bedsure. Yeah. But my mother always said, your grandfather said the one thing that will fix any day in any situation is a shower.
Oh.
And one of the biggest treats, if I'm feeling run down in any way, whether it's at the beginning of the day, I usually shower in the morning, but if I have to take a second shower at 11 a.m. or if it's right before dinner and I need just a moment to myself, shower. I always need that shower.
I think that's a great idea. I think I'm going to tell some other people around me that when things get tough, you know, take a moment, take a shower. Because you are literally washing your troubles away.
You're cleansing
away.
It all. Yeah. Water is nature's number one cleanser. It's funny because I think that indulgences, my biggest indulgence now is time. My time for myself.
Yes.
And so that's why maybe transferring that into like the shower, it's by myself. In fact, I get very frustrated when someone comes in. But the biggest indulgence is time right now. Clearly, it's time.
Yeah, it's so important. And to make that time for yourself to do something like that, it really makes a difference.
Yeah.
It gives you energy to be able to do all the things
I mean,
you
as
want.
I mentioned, sometimes I need it before dinner, just before that last part of the day, which is the dinner and like getting the kids fed and showers or baths and nighttime. It's like you need almost a whole new boost of energy.
Right.
And so having that shower, I don't do it every day, but having that shower right at that time, oh man, it's great.
And speaking of showers, I think it's a great practice, something that you do almost every day, whether it's brushing your teeth, showering or whatever, rather than checking out during that moment, to make that a priority to be fully present. Like, how does the water feel on your body? How does it feel when I touch my scalp with my fingers? It's a really good moment to practice presence if you've been checked out for a while.
Yeah. Yes, very much agree. I personally, my brain goes in a million different directions, but it
I'm
would
saying
be
that
good
could
to be
a
present.
Good tool. In one of my first meditation teacher trainings, that's what they told us. Every time you take a shower, every time you brush your teeth, you should bring yourself into the present, just since you do it every day.
Yeah.
So it could be a good practice.
Yeah.
Or a fun time to think. Yeah. It's up to you.
It's a fun time to think. Yeah.
Or sing, or whatever it is. That's the point of this life, right? Doing
or
what we love.
Wash really well.
Oh,
gosh.
You are a clean-looking person, I must say.
Thank you. I do shower every day.
You do? I can tell.
At least once
your hair
twice.
Looks amazing.
At least once. Sometimes twice.
Do you have anything that you would tell your younger self through all your experiences that you've had now? Any advice?
Yeah, I think that the main advice is I'll spit out something that my sister had given me, actually, as an advice many years ago, which was fish don't swim upstream, right? Unless they have to procreate or, like, for life purposes, and most of them die after that.
Okay.
So when there are situations in your life that just seem a little too hard, one thing is if you've made the effort, like, this is the direction I want to go in. So when I went to university because I wanted to study genetic engineering. And very quickly I realized, no, I don't want to do sciences anymore. I want to go into something that is maybe somewhat, I didn't actually really know what I wanted to do, but I decided I would follow the major that was more in line with the teacher that inspired me.
Yes.
And it ended up being my politics professor. Out of everyone. So it's not something that I was particularly very interested in. I did grow up as a UN brat, as people call them. So politics was kind of part of the day-to-day. I thought, okay, sure, let's continue in this trend of politics. So I ended up graduating politics and legal studies. But during that time, I ended up spending about 6 months in London because in the middle of my university, I said, I really want to be in the fashion industry. And so in the middle of those 4 years, I spent 6 months in London doing PR for Tommy Hilfiger. And so it was great. I was in the fashion industry and I loved it. And then after university, I decided, well, now I want to stay in the fashion and beauty industry. So where do I move to? I moved to New York. So that's why I moved here for the first time to New York. And everything was very flowy. So I wanted to work in the fashion beauty industry. I did a bunch of internships because I finished school in 2002. It was like the worst time ever to find a job. I did a bunch of internships. And finally, in April of 2003, I got a job. I got my first ever job in fashion and beauty. And I was thrilled because I felt like this is what I wanted. I worked towards it and I got it. So I was in that industry for 6 years. But during that time, I realized, all right, so I got this, but this is not what I want now. What do I want next? To do that next, I needed to actually leave New York. I need to leave the business. I need to leave this industry. I need to leave it all. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. And that's when my sister said, you know, that along with a previous partner of mine, she said, just don't swim upstream. What do you really want to do? I said, I just want to go to Africa. She goes, done.
And you did?
Just go to Africa. And I did. And so I moved to Angola, originally just for a 3-month stint. I was going to do some nonprofit work. And within the week of me being there, I just fell in love with the smell, with the taste of everything. Everything was fresh. It was like by the ocean. It was smell of like red clay and mangoes. And I said, no, 3 months will definitely not be enough for me here. I need to stay here for a bit longer. Within that same time frame, like a week, I met my now husband. Mm-hmm. So things...
I knew you were going to say that.
Things
I chills
flow.
Now. No, I'm so moved by this because it brings us back to what we were just saying, that you listened to your inner GPS, taking it one step at a time. Had you created some image of what you were supposed to do, you would have blocked out all those possibilities. Yeah. You wouldn't have met your husband. True. Those are the whispers we have to listen to, the ones that say go to Africa.
Yeah, and you don't know, sister who tells you, get off your ass.
Whoever it is, it should be easy. And so if the thing that you are doing right now is feeling like a resistance and a push, you have got to listen to your whispers and do something else for a minute.
Yeah.
If you unplug for a minute, a new thing will come.
Exactly.
I'm only really passionate about that because I'm finally feeling that in my life. Don't try to create something that you feel everyone else thinks you need to do.
Yeah.
You do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then
you
might
push.
And
you
then,
don't push.
Like you said, that thing might not work out, but you'll meet your husband. I knew you were going to say you met your husband.
And wait,
in
this
Africa.
Does not end
okay,
here.
Okay, tell me.
So the roundabout thing. So about 3 weeks ago, I got my 23andMe DNA results. I'm 32% West African.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
It was calling to you.
Amazing. Calling.
Yeah. So within
it's
any
in
of these...
the blood, which is something that's a whole other conversation about how our blood drives us forward, but you know.
Yeah, but you were listening to the calls of like your blood and your spirit and the world and your sisters and everything.
Yeah.
And that being said, within all this, so now you have this business and a lot of this was easy for you because you were a good listener. But were there moments when you were so scared, like moments that you really were afraid of failing or that you, can you remember any of those moments and what you did to overcome that?
I think the word failing is not part of my dictionary
or
vocabulary. There were a lot of moments that were challenging, especially the first year of business. We pretty much lived off of our savings from Angola. So the business as a business didn't make any money. Okay. We were spending and spending and spending.
For how long?
For about a year.
Okay.
About a year. Now, this was also a big divergence in the household. So my husband had been working with one company for 20 years. He got a salary at the end of the month. It was very stable. Moving to this own our own business was a very big shift for him. And I think that in the household, we felt a little bit that tension, mostly because we felt like, what's going to happen next? Like, we have to make money.
You're living in a question.
Otherwise, yeah, we... But who I am was along the lines of, okay, what do we have to do? Oh, we have to find more clients. Okay, I was making 100 calls a day to schedule 2 appointments. So I just kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing. And so I started hearing these little voices of, I can't believe it. We're not going to make it. And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to pay our next month's rent? And da da da. And I just kind of pushed it away because my focus was not on that. My focus was on, no, we're moving forward. Obviously, we're moving forward. We started this business. It's a great idea. There is a big hole in the market. There's no reason for me, Nama, not to succeed. And so just pushed. So I think that everyone who owns a business has those moments. Mm-hmm. Everyone who has a business has a moment of, oh, crap, is this going in the right direction? Wow, the billing is not where it should be. Wow, our clients are dropping off. This product is so good. Why is nobody buying it? What's stuck? What is not flowing here?
Yeah.
And I think that there was something for us that just changed. It was like a switch in the, if I want to call it, like the universe that just started flowing. So that takes me in a little parenthesis. It was a great article on Bill Gates that was written up in like Financial Times or New York Times, something along those lines many years ago. And Bill Gates said, to be successful, you need to work like crazy, but you need a little bit of luck. So all those people who work like crazy, but have no luck, you're never going to be a top entrepreneur. To be a top entrepreneur, to be great at your business, you need a little bit of luck. And that luck shows itself in so many different ways. You know, for us, our luck was there was a younger group of wine people, and they were interested and willing and curious. And so even if the old guard was just saying, no, Portuguese wine is not the way to go, Portuguese wine is not the way to go, these young Psalms started becoming kind of our friends because I've been, you know, I was harassing them for so long. It's like at some point, you know, they were coming over our house for dinner. We were getting to know them. And little by little, we started building a community. So we really weren't selling wine anymore. We were just making friends. And then that friendship was then becoming a tool to sell.
Yes.
And I think that was the luck. There were certain things. Like we started getting into some really interesting restaurants, like notable restaurants. So our wine started becoming the wine of the month at like a top shop. So things that happen almost all at the same time changed the business.
And can we talk about luck for a moment? Like, no. Don't you feel that you were looking for opportunities though, and you were also prepared?
Well, that's open. Where the work comes in.
Okay.
So if you work really hard and you have all your ducks in a row, when that little bit of luck or that opportunity comes up, you grab it.
You're ready. Yeah.
And you're ready. You have your whole set. Now, is it hard? Every day it's hard. Mm-hmm. Every day I'm schlepping wine. We can't let up. It's not a business. And think any business, you can't let up. You can't say, yeah, it's going well. And
yeah, I mean, you can have moments where you're taking a breath or take a step back, yes, or you're focused on other things. And you can still have that time where you have the block. You're like, okay, I'm going to chip away at this block how best I can, but I'm going to get through the block one way or another.
Yeah.
It's never a throwdown moment where you're just done.
No, never. Never. But never, because that's who we are.
Yeah.
Right. You just keep have working. To keep working at it.
And have to keep reinventing.
Yeah. Yeah, keep it fresh. So we only work with Portuguese wine, and we're bringing to the table really kind of cool, different things that nobody here has ever seen. We're also doing a lot of education. So more and more, our clients, our partners have been saying, hey, I'm doing a seminar on Portugal. You know, I'd love for you to be the teacher. Yes. So the more you're teaching about wine in a very open, relaxed kind of dialogue space, the more people are going to be interested. And so you create kind of a new opportunity, a new novel way to sell wine, which is not really selling, it's just talking.
Right.
Having a conversation.
Yeah, which you're good at.
Which I'm good at.
And so all business aside or business included, what would a perfect day look like for you?
Right, all right. We're going back to that. Okay.
This could be like fairyland or it could be business land. It doesn't matter. It's up to you.
It's Namaland. What is the perfect Namaland?
Yeah, well, I think the highlight of every week is Shabbat dinner. And it's Friday night, and it's about preparation. Usually it's like, it's either my mom, my sister, or I who make the challah. Family comes together, friends come together. And I think that it's a moment of, it's like you kind of breathe out the weak.
It's a
social breath, but also a very personal one. It's like the week is finished. We're all here together. We're all going to break bread together. We're all going to drink a lot of great wine together. We're going to have a wonderful meal that took time to make. It's not during the week. We sometimes make it quick meals. Like Friday night, it's about doing everything slowly. And when we're doing everything slowly, we are so much calmer and everyone around us is so much calmer. Our family, our friends, actually the more friends, the better, like family and friends, everyone together. So I think that my perfect day is actually a perfect evening. So for me, Friday nights are the moment of the week, but every week.
Yeah.
Every darn week.
That's amazing. And I love that idea of slowing down. I could actually feel the energy
right
totally
now. Totally slowed down now.
But that's a good feeling to be slow and just enjoy cooking and not feel like you're hustling, because your hustle is real, like carrying the wines around all the time. And it probably makes it easier to schlep the wine around knowing Friday's coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Your perfect Friday.
Yeah. And I think that it's rare. I would say that not everybody feels that once a week you have a perfect moment.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week I have a perfect moment.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You gave us a couple of quotes. Robert Frost and
Bill Gates.
Oh, Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm. God, no women? Oh my God.
Come on, Nama.
What's going on?
But we've got your quotes, Nama quotes.
Yeah, we've got the Nama quotes. But also, what is a quote that you're living by right now?
Man, that's not
or
good.
Or a mantra.
My mom uses this word a lot, but it's a good word. I think that there should be a better word somewhere, but harmony. And harmony is a very good word because we can't control everything around us, right? So in theory, harmony is when if you can make things happen and then everything's harmonious. But because we can't control everything around us, you kind of have to be okay with situations and with people. So if my husband didn't sleep well and he wakes up and he's not in a great mood, it's out of my control. But what can the day be like so that it continues to have harmony? So I know he's not in a great mood. So maybe, like, don't provoke. Like, let me just bring him a nice cup of coffee and give him a kiss. And done. And that brings back harmony to me, even though he's in a bad mood. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You're choosing to have active harmony.
Active harmony.
But it is. It's consciously saying, okay, this person's out of harmony. That you're tuning him a little to bring him in a little harmony, just a little nudge.
Which then affects me too, right? I mean, it's very selfish, actually, this act of harmony. Because
you're trying to keep everybody in the
flow.
You're
trying to keep everyone in the flow. And the same thing with the kids, or the same thing with my mom, or with my sister, or with friends. I think when the vibrations are unpleasant, everything around you feels that. If I don't sleep well and I wake up in a bad mood, the kids feel it immediately. And immediately they react to that weird energy that I have. So then I think, all right, Nama, get over it, hug your kids, and figure out what's next.
I think that's really important to really be responsible to the energy that you bring into the room every time.
So much.
And do what you need to do.
And it affects it so, it affects the room so much.
It does, especially someone like you or a woman that believes in herself, watch out.
That's right.
You know, you're using that power really to affect the room in such little subtle ways. You're really a nurturing human. It's so amazing.
I do. I like nurturing.
Yeah, which is maybe why your business is so great, is because I want to buy your wines right now.
Good.
I believe in your product.
Thank you.
Good. But I think it's because you believe in your product.
Yeah. You always do what you love. Never do something that you don't believe in.
If you're listening to this now and you're doing something you don't believe in,
take a breath right now
and take little baby steps. No judgment. But start to do something that you enjoy. Even if you just need to start your hobby, and then you can listen to the whispers that might tell you how to make money doing that thing.
Or take a shower.
Yeah, take your shower and then shift.
Take a shower.
That's right.
The world is so big. There are so many opportunities for each of us.
Yeah.
Active harmony, I think, is exactly what that means. And you're living above the curve by living in active harmony. What we're trying to do is have you tell your story so people can then listen and then go off and do it. Because not enough women are listening to their inner selves. Not enough women are doing what they love, and they're suffering.
Yeah.
So
and also
we
it's
hope
so,
to change that.
Yeah. And it's so great to hear so many different perspectives, right?
Yep.
This is a huge epiphany since we've had all these interviews, is that it isn't about working more. It's working more efficiently to create the life of your dreams.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for
Let's
having
live
me
above
here.
The curve.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Curvy Pod. Let's continue living above the curve.